On today's show, we have comedian Kenny Bean, local businessman Jake Wood, local activist Corbett Winningham. Welcome to Under the Influence with Ernesto and Gene. Well, hello everyone. My name is Ernesto Ortiz, and I want to welcome everyone to our first show. Yay! So who do we have in the room?
Well, my name is Gene Moore, and I am part of this show with you. And then we have our guest comedian today, and he's also going to help interview us since it's our first show. So go ahead.
Hello, I'm Kenny. I'm the first guest.
Yay, Kenny! Yes. Welcome.
So, I'm excited to be part. This is my first experience in radio.
Oh, good.
Oh, gosh.
It's so professional with this laptop.
microphone. This beautiful studio that we have going on.
This lavish studio.
Looking over the city.
Dog friendly studio.
Yes.
So we came up with the show. The name of the show is called Under the Influence, and we thank you guys for taking the time to listen to us. So Under the Influence is kind of our show of, well, Ernesto and I, we do comedy in the Valley, and we've been doing it for a while, and one of the things we hear a lot is tone down the gay. Don't be so gay. And so we just needed a place where we could let all the gay out. Not all of it, just some of it. Do you want to let all of it out?
A healthy amount of gay out.
Too much is too gay for me.
Too much.
Yeah, you know. No.
All right, so.
Well, what is too gay, according to the gays?
Too gay for me is, well, I think that you should handle yourself in public. This is how I always look at it. It's okay. like when you're with your sisters, you can be as gay as you want. It's silly, because it doesn't make people feel uncomfortable. But I'm from the Midwest, and I like not to make people feel uncomfortable. And when it's too much, it gives them a headache, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I pick up on energy, and so I feel like if somebody is getting too much, then I'm either going to be feeling sorry for them, or I'm going to get angry, and then I'm really going to attack. And when gays attack, that is not cute.
When gays attack, it's not cute.
Hey, Ernesto, what have you experienced that's too gay?
I don't know if I even think there's a too gay.
Give me an example of too gay.
Well, you know, I just think of, when they talk about it, when we're performing on stage.
Yeah.
Because personally, I think you should act however you want. And sometimes there's a very effeminate or very gay people that that's the norm.
Right.
On stage, let's see. You know, I think I have a problem because my whole bit is usually gay.
Yeah. Your whole set.
Yeah, my whole set. Yeah.
Well, this is, you got to be relatable sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, and it's not where I'm being flamboyant or anything of that sort. It's kind of making fun of the things that are said to me.
Right. No, I agree. And when I listen to your jokes, what I was attracted to, what I like about your style, is that it's very out there. It's very, I'm gay. I'm not apologizing, and it's to me, it's relatable for people that are open-minded. But if you are prejudiced and you do not like gay people, I could see how it would be really offensive because you're like, this is how it is. Like, you're not apologetic or anything.
So. Right, but you have to be, like, that's the thing. Like, there's people who, it's not like a too gay or a not gay enough thing. It's being real. It's almost like a front. It's a cover. They're trying to hide something inside, so they kind of flame it out. And
I know.
It's almost like a mechanism of
fear.
A discomfort.
It is. Yeah. You know, can I just tell you this? Last week, Saturday, I did two shows. The second show, there were a gay couple that were very closeted. However, they brought 10 people with them, right? And so they were out as a couple celebrating their anniversary, but they were closeted. And they didn't want anyone to know that they were. And so my gay jokes did not go over well because it made them feel uncomfortable. And it made
really?
And it made them feel like things were getting too close. And so then I guess everybody else kind of picked up on the energy because they brought a lot of people with them. And then it was a disaster.
How uncomfortable. Oh, my God.
I know.
It was like the closet case.
And my gay stuff isn't like, you know, I'm going to take a cock and put it right up my ass. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't do that.
What do you, like, I'm new. I'm a new comedian. I've only been performing since May, and I'm still learning, and I'm still developing, and I was always concerned about this, like being too gay. What do you think?
I don't think you can be. I think that here's what, and I get lots of conflicting advice. One of the person that helped put it into context was Bernadette Pauly. She was here last week, and I was saying, "Oh my God, you know," because I got when I got called back, you know, in the back in the green room, they're like, "This is," they kind of coach you. This is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "You know what? Don't feel bad, because as a woman, I get this all the time. I get you're too angry. You're not angry enough. You're not feminine enough. You're too man." She's like, "That's just the way it is. Every comedian has something. As soon as they get off stage, they're going to be more or less." And that's the whole thing, is it's a process of finding your voice and modulating it. What do you think?
Right, right. And, you know, I think the only thing I can say is you have to be true to yourself, or the comedy is not going to be funny.
Yeah, I agree.
Very true.
Yeah. And that's the people. I hear a million things about
modulating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get comments like, well, that's going to work here, but it might not work somewhere else, or you're kind of limiting yourself and so on. But I really honestly think if you have to be true to yourself, you have to relate. It has to be your stuff, or.
Yeah.
You know.
I think everything is relatable if it's done well. If it's clever and it's fast and done with the right energy, it's relatable. Where I don't connect with people is because I talk too fast, or I don't stop. I do that steamroll where I'm like, where they're not getting me, and I just push through. And that's
right.
And I need to stop, because I wouldn't do that in real life.
It's really hard. You have to allow breathing room.
Yeah.
I watch comedians, you know, recently, and there's like this flow, this almost like musical flow of where they have to like release and put pauses.
Yeah.
And there's a dynamic, just like in music, there's highs and lows.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do. It's, you know, a trained musician has to learn this stuff. And
right, right. And it takes practice. But doing a gay, quote unquote, gay set. I struggle doing it at a gay bar, because really? I'm always afraid of the reaction that I get, that I'll get there. I can tell you that I usually only do straight rooms. I do one gay place or gay room, and it goes, I know there's people in there that do not like gays at all, but I always get positive feedback from them.
Yeah.
You win them over. I feel like it's easier to win over a straight man for me than a gay man.
You know what? Oddly enough, let me tell you this. The people that always come to me after a show, after every show, are straight men. Like men that you would be surprised, and like, I get it. It's funny.
Well, because that's what we do all our lives.
Yeah.
Winning over straight people.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like in an audience of my peers, quote unquote, I feel like they're judging me, and I'm really uncomfortable. Like the gay comedy showcase back in May, I was freaking out because I was like, is there too many gay people? But there actually wasn't a lot.
It was a good mix.
That's
what saved us. But you know what I find too, is that gay people, I'm already intimidated. Not intimidated, that's not the right word. Every gay man I know is funny. Because you have to be to survive. You have to go through. Oh, this is part of being gay. And so when I feel like when I go into a room, whatever energy level or level that you're at performing with straight people, gay people, you have to be a little bit more. And so you really got to bring it. And that's because they'll give you less time to be funny. That's what I think.
Right.
And they will. Then they turn into that bitchy thing.
Yeah.
And I don't do the bitchy thing well.
So competitive. Oh,
it
God.
Is, yeah, yeah. And when you perform, because I performed in front of these insecure fags, and that was even worse.
That's it. Yeah, I can do
because
that.
Because then it turned into they're wanting to make fun of me, and I just did not go. I didn't take that bait. Because, you know, the people in the back got it, and they were having fun, but the insecure people, I had to let them go, so. Which is...
Were they were in the front?
They were in the front. They're like, oh my God, look at her hair. Where's that from? Mace, Great Clips or whatever? And I'm like, yes, bitch. I do get my hair cut. Because that's the kind of fag I am. I'm not, you know, that's my whole thing. You know, I'm not a fancy gay. So.
Really? That's what they said?
Yeah, they're like, look at his shoes. Look at those shoes. It doesn't even match his belt. Look at his hair. Oh my God. Like, I felt like I was talking with like it was an episode of Mean Girls, that movie.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I think gay men are stuck in high school sometimes.
Yeah. It was very mean.
There's the plastic and the non-plastic.
I'm like, oh my God, Heather. No, and they were... I could either go with those people or I could ignore them. And I ignored them. Which, in real life, I don't fucking do. You get in my face, I'm going to get in your fucking face.
Yeah, gosh.
But stage is different.
Did they get worse when you ignored them? Because I feel like they might have gotten worse.
I don't... You know, I totally blocked them out. I totally blocked them out. And I focused on, what do I got to say next?
It's like when those people are... We had this at one show where there was that one table that kept talking, and they were so loud.
And normally, never in a comedy show do I ever get angry with people. Never. And that one I did. I'm like, you shut the fuck up. And I don't even know if the crowd went with it or not. I didn't even care because I just had enough of like messy fags. And I'm sure they're hairdressers because messy hairdressers are always are coked up and drunk.
Possible sponsor.
This show's brought to you by something
great clips. Speaking of hairdressers, so you guys, what is jokes that have bombed? I want to hear about the jokes that have bombed in your careers as
jokes
local
that
comedians.
Have bombed. You know the jokes that do bomb, and it could be my whole set that's bombing, but
all of them.
It's when you're trying too hard, I think. You know that you got a good laugh because you shocked them with this other one, so I'm gonna do another shocker, and it just does not work out. I'm trying to think of I don't know. How about you, Gene?
For me, I don't really tell jokes per se. I just tell stories. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people say that. And I just tell stories. But, you know, the truth is I want to tell jokes. I just don't know how to do that in the way that most people do it. You know, set up, twist. I had this topic once I loved. It was called flesh-eating disease, right? I just felt like it would really click on.
And I love this. Flesh-eating disease.
Because I think it was funny. It really started with one day I was standing in line, and this kid, like this gross kid with lots of pimples, came up and said, "I need to." He didn't even ask me in a nice way. He's like, "Can I use your phone?" And I'm like, "No, you're not going to use my phone. I'm not going to get a flesh-eating disease. Gross." So that was funny to me. And then I wrote a whole like 6-minute bit on it, to which I thought it really worked.
Wow.
But it did not work. I mean, some parts of it did work, but I mean, and when I remember being on stage and I said to people, "Hey, have you ever heard of the flesh?" You know what I'm talking about? Not one person.
There's one? Really?
Yeah, I know. Because I always think every bit or every show is going to be my last time I don't have to work. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be the one where I get to quit my day job. Yeah, so.
With the flesh eating disease?
I thought that was the one for sure.
Keep in mind, later, you still work on it. Gosh, and it's like the worst thing when I remember I called you or we're on the phone one day. I'm like, "Oh my God, Jade." It was total silence.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It was terrible.
And the girl, when you're like telling Catholic jokes, she's like,
"Oh my God, can you say this?" I hate that. What was the joke that I did? I think I was trying to talk about my dad. Because my dad had told me one day to make sure that my cat ran outside, and I was freaked out because it's so hot. And my dad tells me, because my dad's so
blue. Wait a minute. You have a cat.
Yeah, I have a cat.
And your pussy was running out in the rain?
Yeah, it was just running out.
That's hilarious.
It was hot. Her pussy was hot.
It was a hot pussy. Pussy's getting so hot.
So I interrupted your hot pussy story.
So what did your dad do?
She ran out, and my dad's like, "Hey, Ernie, you better go get that cat, because you don't want a bunch of kittens. She's probably in heat." And I'm like, "No, Dad, she's fixed." And so my dad's like, "So, who gives a shit? I'm fixed." And I thought it was the grossest thing in the world, but I tried to put that on stage, and...
Yeah.
Well, I have yet to have a joke that bombs.
I love it.
In my small career, it's been good. No.
Kenny has good energy. You should see
him. Yeah, he has good energy now.
He gets it. He is almost like a preacher. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm going to church.
Wow.
It is. I know, and which is weird.
I know.
I told you that last time about, because, you know, I was going through gay recovery and stuff back in the day when I was, like, trying to be straight because I wanted to go to heaven and that whole idea. And this, like they laid hands on me and prayed over me and were, like, making...
Really?
They had this prophetess. Her name was Prophetess something. I don't know. So she's, like, a prophet woman. I don't know.
Wait. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to be there in that room with you. Okay, so do they take you to a church?
I was at a church building.
And you're wearing khakis, right? Khakis?
Khakis and a polo.
Oh, yeah, cargo shorts with pockets on the side.
Oh, okay,
so I want to be straight.
So they take you into this church.
And I had more hair back then, so I had like a nice crisp going on like you got, Gene.
Yeah.
And I'm in a room with like four men. I'm one of four men. One of them was really old, and he's trying to recover from his homosexuality. There was my friend, Mike, who brought me and then this like little Hispanic boy that was just flaming, like,
really?
This, the rainbows were...
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a janitor.
And then they're like talking to us about how, like, we can never say that we're gay. We always have to, like, have to externalize it. So I struggle with homosexuality. So when I said, well, you know, sometimes, you know, I feel gay, they're like, you're not gay, you struggle with homosexuality. And they, so then they laid hands on us and they were praying over us and making predictions.
And you got a boner when they touched you?
No, they ruined my hair. Like, they had on, and the crisp was gone. And I'm like, fuck you guys, it's all fluffy and cottony now. Anyway. So they said, like, she's like, God has shown me that if you change your ways, like, you are going to be one of the most successful preachers. Uh-huh. I see words written all over you, Kenny, and these words are frozen sermons. These words that I see written all over you are sermons. And once you accept that, or once you live a life for God and, you know, release my gay ways or whatever, these sermons will be unlocked and I'll be a successful preacher. And I'm just, now I kind of feel like you mentioned, a preacher. I'm doing what she said.
And God, God has spoken. Now you're a stand-up comedian.
You are, and you are a child of God. You are, and you know what? You are sending a message out. Maybe it's not the one she wants, but it's still a message.
Right.
So.
Okay, so let's get this shizzo on the rizzo.
Okay, guys, thank you for coming back to us. We're here, Ernesto and Gene Moore. We're here with local comedian Kenny Beam.
Yes, Kenny Beam.
And we are talking to him, and he's also part of the show today. He kind of interviewed us, but now we're going to switch the game and interview him a little bit. So, Kenny, your style of comedy, first, before we do any of that, let me just say, if you haven't seen Kenny perform, you guys want to, because he's really funny, he's got a lot of energy, and it's insane. He is not... hide the fact that he's gay, which is really interesting, because when I perform, I like sometimes wait and pepper it in a little bit. No, you're like right out there, balls
right out. And I debated about that when I was, you know, starting out. I was like, should I kind of ease it in? But I figured the quicker that the audience can get me, like,
oh, you don't think they know as soon as you get up there?
Well, exactly. Well, and that's why I wear like my sherbert hoodie. I wear my flashy green shorts because I want them to figure me out right away. Because the quicker they can figure me out, the quicker they can laugh at me.
Okay.
So I don't have any uncomfortable like, is he gay? Is he not gay? Right, the whole time. No, I'm just be like, hey, I'm gay, and it's funny.
Now, have you tried comedy before not being gay?
Yes, one time I did an open mic. It was right freshman year of college, and I was closeted, and I invited a girl that I was like kind of dating.
Oh, wow.
And I made fun of
gays?
No, deaf people. It was cool because I was learning sign language at the time, and I had a great like opening. Like I went up to the mic and I was like, "Hello, my name is Kenny," and I'm signing the whole time, and I'm like, "I'm a deaf comedian, and for my first joke, knock knock."
Who's there?
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Knock knock.
Who the fuck is there?
I can't hear you. I'm deaf. And I waited for everybody to calm down, and then I got really close to the mic, and I'm like, just kidding, I'm not deaf.
Oh.
And then they laughed. They're like, oh my gosh, he's not deaf. And then I had nothing after that.
That's the best story ever.
And I'm like talking about like, so, you know, I'm on this date with this girl, and everybody's like, is that the joke? Because, I mean, I was obviously gay. Like, do we laugh? Is he not gay but gay? And it was just really uncomfortable. And
oh, that's rough.
I was talking about stray cats. I had some really bad jokes. And I tried to do spray tanning and had some jokes about that.
What you can't see is Kenny. We'll post a picture. He's extremely, extremely... What's the word you would use?
Transparent.
Yeah. In his family photos, he says... One of his jokes is... It's funny. Because he's like, here's my family photo. And then you'll recognize me on the orb.
Oh my gosh, there's a ghost in the photo. No, that's my face.
That's Kenny.
That's me. And it's weird because my family is brunettes. And I popped out blonde.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
But there's blondes on both sides, mom and dad, so I know it's not like some...
Well, whatever gives you the peace.
Peace of mind, yeah.
So Kenny, how did you start comedy? Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I started that and bombed, and then didn't do it for years, and then it was just convinced, I was convinced by my friends, they're like, you need to be on stage, and you know, that once I got over that stage fright, because, you know, it's easy to be funny. It's not easy to be funny on a stage in front of strangers.
Yeah.
I knew how to make my friends laugh.
Yeah.
That was easy for me. I wanted, and they were like, you need to put this on stage, and now I'm learning how to make, you know, strangers laugh, and it's a blast. I love it.
Yeah.
And I just got started because of my friends. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. So where do you perform?
At the Comedy Spot. I have three shows actually coming up in Glendale at Zendejos.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Zendejos on September 20th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And that's at
Thursday.
Thursday, September 20th at 8 p.m. And then I have another show the 28th, which is that Friday. At the Comedy Spot in Scottsdale, and then another one a month later, November 2nd, at the Comedy Spot in Scottsdale.
That Zendejas.
Zendejas.
I'm such a Zendejas. White Mexican. Zendejas. That's a big room. It's a big room. There's like.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I invited a lot of people to that because I grew up on the west side. I grew up blocks away from that.
Oh, really?
Very cool.
Really? Yeah. It's a big room. It's like maybe 250 plus.
Yeah, it's very big.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're spread out. And they're really spread out, so it's a good place.
Can you, as you walk around, or
the stage that they put you on is really small.
Okay.
And then they put this fucking light on you. It's like, I don't know. And what they do is they put the light. They don't put it on right away. So you go up there, you're doing your bits. All of a sudden, boom! The spotlight is on you.
I know.
You feel like
it's like slowly growing into like heat and
yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like this heat, and then you can't. What bothers me about it is I can't see people's face. When I can't see your face, I don't know any way to gauge it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess tough. You could say, are they laughing or not?
But I have a lot of people coming to that show that, because I grew up in that side of town, but they're all like my church friends.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect. Yeah, I'm going to your show now.
I debated inviting my parents because, well, they are having a hard time. They're not having a hard time. They're slowly getting used to
the gay.
That I'm going to hell, yeah.
The gay? Yeah. Or the comedy.
Because I'm putting them in the show now, and I really debated that, but I figured, you know, I'm telling jokes right now, but what makes a comedian is their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can tell jokes. I can be a guy that tells jokes on the stage, easy, but if I want to be a comedian, I got to take this personal step.
Right.
And I recently was ready to make that step, so I talked to my parents, actually just 2 days ago, about this. And
so your coming out story, too.
And I was like, hey,
I got some more bad news.
I'm gonna talk about you guys, and I'm trying to explain to her. I'm like, it's comedy, so I'm being a little over dramatic about you guys. I'm, you know,
it's embellished.
You up. Yeah, exactly. It's embellished or whatever.
Wow.
And my dad's, you know, he's just cool with it. I'm like, I'm kind of making you a little more tougher than he actually really is. So maybe he should be happy.
Yeah.
But my mom was like, and she starts crying because I'm like telling her how I'm gonna go into my life stories, and she's like, I want you to know that I have a little bit of regret. And I go, what is this regret? And she's like, you know, I see that you're doing all this like dancing and comedy and all this artistic stuff. And everybody convinced me that you should go into this art school when you were younger. And I was like, and I was thinking about putting you in that art school, but I didn't want you to feel like you had to be gay. I didn't want you to feel like
so
you had to be gay to fit in. And I'm all like, well, Mom, thank God you didn't take me to art school.
Because
obviously it did a lot. No, I didn't make her feel bad. But
imagine.
But I told her, I was like, you know, whether I went to the art school or not, I'm performing, dancing still. It's like, you know.
She didn't discount you because everybody has a journey.
Right. Whether she put me in that school or not, I'm doing what I love to do. And and she felt better. And I'm like, you know, whether I'm successful at it or not, I'm doing it. And that's what's making me happy.
Plus, it probably would be... I don't know. I really like the idea of... Because I think comedy is a pressure cooker.
Right.
And so I'm always thinking... I mean, I had a horrible coming out. My family disowned me, whatever. Yeah. But in my jokes, I twist it and I make them support me. That's the joke.
Right.
But I think
that's your personal joke on them.
That's my personal joke on them. But I think that when you go through high school and people are mean to you and you go through all that, it's a good pressure cooker for comedy.
Totally.
So maybe if she put you through that...
Oh yeah! This is why I'm so funny.
You would just be an annoying fag.
Exactly. I'd just be one of those gays that came out when I was 12 and everybody loved it. And
yeah,
you know, but you're right. I think that is what fuels our comedy. There's just so much pain that has gone on, and and putting that on stage.
I feel like that pain is a little redundant. I'm, you know what I mean? Like every gay has gone through it, so it's kind of like I'm not bringing anything new. Everybody's like, yeah, whatever.
To gay people, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what? To straight people, this is all new to them.
That's true.
Because they just accept the fact that they're more comfortable when their gays are really flamey or mostly out of their face.
Right.
I mean, I know a lot of straight people that say, I tolerate gays. You know what I mean? And they may not say the words, but they do.
Oh, I tolerate straights.
That's exactly how I do too. I tolerate.
Sometimes I can't. I just can't.
Yeah. Well, it's hard.
They're too straight.
Right. You do 8 hours of working with them. It's a lot. I mean, the whole world, they think, revolves around them.
Right.
Clearly.
Any more questions?
Yeah. I know that you have a commercial coming up that you filmed.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. With Lucky Man Productions, we just got done filming a commercial for the Arizona State Fair. And it's a new, fresh version of the cotton candy lady in the office where she eats her hair. Well, now she is a full-blown pop star-ish
person.
And I'm one of her background dancers.
You're a featured dancer.
I'm a featured background dancer. So there's the featured dancers, and we kind of start, like, she kind of brings us to life out of the crowd, and we dance with her, because this was filmed at a mall. And then after that, the whole mall gets involved, and all these people put on pink wigs, and they're jamming out. It's a really fun commercial, and it's going to probably come out in October. And the state fair is October.
Oh, girl, she's pushing
the state fair. Oh, my goodness.
She's pushing that.
I think it's October 13th through November 2nd. So make sure you check out the commercial, check out the state fair.
Ernesto, I want to tell you this. That day, I remember when he went to that audition, because I drove him to that audition. Because that night, well, similarly the same day. We went, NBC came to, it was the Comedians of Diversity.
Oh, yeah, the same day.
They came downtown. So we, I picked him up at his house at 11, and we drove
PM,
down.
The night before.
And then we drove, Ronit, our fellow comedian friend, came over, and we drove down there like at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed outside. They didn't let you in, and we stayed outside for at least a good 8 hours.
It was until 10. From 4 to 10, we were standing there.
Oh, my God, and it was warm.
Mm-hmm.
It was summer. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lord, Jesus. It was like over 100 degrees.
Oh, wow.
So, many people from L.A. So many people.
So many nice people. Yeah, but what was really funny is like, we never, you know, when you live in Arizona, there's not a lot of black people here.
Uh-huh.
But, oh, Lord Jesus, those were for real black people. They were really black.
Which
is refreshing, but refreshing, I mean, it's just not something you're used to in that whole aggressive.
Why is Arizona like that? I can count them on my hand, all the colored people I know.
I know. I think it's funny that you said colored.
You said colored people. Colored.
Well, that's how white you are.
Oh, my goodness.
You still think that it's okay.
You're all the colors of the brown rainbow.
What's so funny is that Kenny sleeps with all kinds of people.
Yeah,
so.
I do. Well, you make me sound like a big slut. No, I just don't sexually like white people that much.
Oh, really?
Well, and there's a few that I'm like, especially if they have beards, I'm down, but... I just love the brown boys and the black ones and the yellow ones and
really yellow boys.
Me too. Yeah,
Asian boys.
A stocky Asian is cute to me.
Yeah,
Ernesto.
I like.
You want somebody to help you do your taxes when you make it?
I love
all of it.
You can't let that motherfucker drive you.
Yeah, that's the benefits of being.
Well, I can drive. We'll take the bus together.
I can tell you this. I've never seen an Asian, because my day job is in the mortgage business. I've never seen an Asian person with a bad FICO. They always have great.
Wow.
They always have really good FICO scores.
You know? See?
Okay, well, that's.
And what's your joke, Ernesto? FICO is the new dick size?
Yes.
For the gays?
I don't even know what FICO is.
A FICO is your. It's a cumulative score of your credit report.
Oh,
so you take.
That's
your,
why I don't know. You lost me. I'm done.
You're just automatically good. Because you're a white guy.
Oh, no, well, I have bad credit because I don't.
Oh, my gosh. You're sleeping with all those colored people.
I know.
See, that's why I don't sleep with people of color. Hello.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I've taken on behaviors.
You know, it's funny. I only like white people to sleep with.
Oh, you're half white.
I'm half white. Maybe that's all I know. I'm like Tiger Woods.
You're America's child.
I've never slept with anyone. I've tried to sleep with someone with color, a black person, but we ended up just... laughing and talking.
Pillow fighting.
And listening to records.
It's not like, I don't know. It's just weird what you're attracted to. You know what I mean? I don't think.
And it's always different. Like, I hate when people ask, like, what's your type? Because it really is across the board.
Yeah. Mine too.
I mean, up front, really? First, they have to have a penis.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything else could fall into place. Like, one guy, I can't say I like a certain trait, because one guy might carry it better than the other, you know?
Interesting. I don't know. That is interesting. That's a whole new show.
So if you know of anyone, I'm pretty open to anyone.
Are you breathing?
That's like
any color.
You know, I always had to know what their party affiliation is. I know it's bad, but I could not. I saw Bill the Republican once, and they fucking hate themselves so much that it's not fun. It's not fun to be with, you know, those Republican gays. What is wrong with them?
It is like a self-hating. It's
self-hating.
Weird. Well, I never even thought of asking that.
Girl, you gotta know.
Oh my gosh. I'm just happy that they're there.
What do you mean? You arrived.
You haven't left yet. That's great.
You replied to my email. I didn't think you were gonna come over.
God, you can meet a guy on Grindr.
No, I know. If I'm gonna sleep with somebody, I'm gonna shave my legs all the way up. Oh,
wow. That's where I met that last guy, was Grindr.
At Grindr. See, now I've been with my boyfriend for 11 years, so I've missed the whole internet thing.
Really?
The whole internet. I've never.
That's rough.
It's gone annoying. Online to it's internet. Annoying. To meet a guy on the internet.
Well, because so. It's so ass backward, like, you know, it's like a menu item. It's like now lovers are like food, because, you know, I can just go on my phone and I have this menu of men, and I could just pick whatever I want, what I'm feeling that
day.
Like, it's terrible.
Show me your wiener.
What?
And they do.
Right.
Well, then that's the whole fucking point of seeing the wiener. You know how many times you go home with somebody just to see their wiener, yeah, and you're like, oh, I gotta fucking do this now.
Back in the day.
Yeah, not now.
To the cave.
You see it right away.
Like, now you can see your wiener, and you go, I got jokes to write. I got shit to do.
Yeah.
Ernesto's busy.
Man, I might not do this. Thank you.
I just want
to going as far as my phone.
I'm throwing online out the window. I think I'm just, if I'm going to meet a guy right now, I'm making myself meet him naturally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this digital connection. I want someone to spot me and see me across a crowded room.
I don't know. Ernesto, are you doing that? Are you seeing anyone right now? I never get into your personal life.
No. Oh, and no. I haven't dated and...
What's wrong with you?
No, just kidding.
I do comedy.
No, it's hard. I mean, it's really hard.
I don't know how long it's been since I've dated. That's how long it's been.
Because you're just focused on doing shows and just...
No, guys annoy me.
Yeah,
that's the truth. I mean, I'll meet someone and I'm like, oh god, this guy's a douche. Or maybe I'm just going after the wrong guy. But
yeah. Girl, you need to ask them what party they vote for.
That
would save a lot of time, because it says everything about them. Because you know, I guess it's the same as being able to look at dicks online. You're able to go through them faster because it says everything about you. I think, you know what I mean.
How big your dick is.
No,
that says a lot about you.
I don't even like. Yeah.
But that's like, even people within their own party don't necessarily agree. So I don't. Disagree with you.
You can disagree, but for me,
I can date a Republican gay.
Yes, you can.
And he could disagree. Be a well-rounded person. God damn it!
I don't think you're gonna find that.
I'm not trying to find that.
Yeah, they're always kind of crazy.
They're crazy.
Are you a Republican?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're going to have to kick you off the show.
I am Martian, actually.
Martian.
Yeah. I believe in one world.
Yeah. Yes.
No boundaries.
No boundaries.
What a whore. She'd sleep with an alien. What a whore.
Oh my, if I had a chance. Yeah, if an alien landed, would you sleep with that alien?
Well, if it was a Democrat, yes. Ernesto, would
I sleep with an alien? Well, there's many running around in my neighborhood, but
Have you slept with an illegal? Have you slept with a Mexican man?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's that like?
Spicy.
Yeah. It's like sleeping with myself.
Oh.
Maybe that's why I don't like blondes, because I feel like see
so
me.
Gross.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping with me.
You know, can I tell you this? I once had a friend who was so narcissistic. He dated somebody that looked exactly like him.
Oh, don't you see those guys? It's creepy.
Yeah, I do.
You think they're brothers. You're like, kiss.
Yeah,
like, I know.
Like those muscle bears. I feel like all bear, like muscle bears, they all try to look the same.
See,
they all shave their head, and they're all dating each other.
They have that weird beard.
See, I think the bears are fascinating. They fascinate me. I see them, and I want to be in that club. And that's why I'm trying to
eat. When you observe the bears in their natural habitat.
Yes.
You gotta grow a beard.
So majestic.
I gotta grow a beard. I don't have... Well, I have Indian in me, so I don't have a lot of body hair.
Well, I'm friends with tons of bears.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I got to do
it. I'm a little cub.
The bears, they fascinate me, but I just feel like I can't be in that.
You know what I love about bears is, so they look, they have, you know, it's the really muscly butch guys.
Yeah.
Then you talk to them like, oh, girl.
That's my favorite.
Oh, I love it.
A lumberjack with a lisp is my favorite.
But they're so accepting. They get everything.
And they love themselves.
They do love themselves.
So, but it's becoming a little exclusive.
You know, when I performed at that show that you referred me to,
mm-hmm.
I watched a documentary on the bears. And I seen how that happened. And what has happened is those aging circuit boy queens are going into bears because they're gaining weight. And they bring with it that that clickiness that they have.
Yeah.
That extreme clickiness, which is a whole new segment that we call.
Oh, and it's there's like, even within the bear community here, there's, you know, different bear groups, and they talk about each other, and they're exclusive, and they're like, well, that bear is a part of that bear group. And
really?
I'm like,
oh my god, I didn't know this.
You're all the same species. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, you're all bears. It makes sense, because you have polar bears, you have grizzly bears.
I'm a polar bear. A polka bear?
Polka bear.
Polka bear. What's that one? Panda bears?
Panda bears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brown
lemurs.
Bears.
Lemurs. I don't know.
It's a lemur.
I think that's a monkey, isn't it?
It's a man. I don't know. There's not anything.
No, there's otters.
What is up with otter? Like, otter, I don't know.
It's like a skinny bear.
The only thing I know about otters are the little juicies that you freeze in.
Oh, the otter pops.
Otter pops.
That's how I learned how to be a good gay.
That'd be a good screen name for an otter on a bear site. Oh, I'm Otter Pop. Oh, I wish I was an otter and I'd use that as a screen name. Oh, my God. No, I'm giving up online. What am I saying?
You don't know who you are.
You can't now.
Would you show your dick if somebody said, show me your dick right away?
Not right away. Well,
like what? Like 10 minutes in? I gotta wait 10 minutes. I'm a fucking lady. I'm not gonna.
I pride myself in my naked photos. I'm very artistic.
Oh, God.
I use, you know, objects to censor very artistically.
What do you mean?
A hand laying in a certain way that covers my dick, but just shows a tip, maybe. I like doing that. Or, like, I'm holding something, a potted plant. Or like a cactus where my dick is. And like, show me your naked photo. And I show them and then they always laugh. And they're like, oh, that's funny. And I never show my face if I'm showing like any kind of ass or dick.
So why is that? Because when you get famous, you don't want to link them together?
No, I just
that's how you get famous. Come on now.
Yeah.
But.
And that's how you show your dick too? You be showing your dick?
Well, not right away.
Look at me, I'm getting blind. You be showing your dick?
Within 3 to 4 messages.
If I like you.
Right. If they and. Them showing their dick
it's
versus
a fair trade. Come on now.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be like one of those people that doesn't reciprocate.
I used to like have guys. This is terrible because now no one's gonna show me theirs. But I used to ask guys to show me, and I would save their photo. And so when someone else would ask me to show them, I would show their dick.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. Okay, we'll edit this out. Quiet.
That is funny.
You're a picture collector.
That is funny.
And then some guys look and they're like, that's my ass.
Mine. I've sucked that dick before. That's not your fucking, that's my boyfriend's dick.
Can you imagine? It totally doesn't match.
Yeah.
It's like some black guy's ass and a white guy's dick.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
And I'm Latino.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I don't know.
It's a bit of Lego.
Well, mine's very noticeable because of the blonde hair. Everybody's like, oh, that's Kenny's. It's laying in a bed of cotton.
Ernest, have you met somebody of substance online?
Mm-hmm. You know, I moved to Texas many years ago.
What part?
San Antonio.
Yeah.
You lived there also. Anyways, but before I moved over there, I started going online. It was the time when Yahoo was a big thing. Yahoo Chat and those profiles. And
so Yahoo was huge for a while with the gays talking.
I totally missed all that.
Yeah, so I ended up meeting a lot of... By the time I got there, I already had people to hang out with, and and there's a couple of people I still talk to, and I moved back to Arizona, and I met them online. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
it's amazing. I don't know. It's just foreign to me because I miss that whole section of life.
Yeah, like, I just think it.
Like I don't know. I mean, I remember once I broke up with somebody and I tried to do it, but it took forever. Like the AOL and. Like
you try to break up with him on AOL?
Yeah,
oh my god, I don't
No, I don't know. I don't know. But I like when you're single, not that, you know, but when you're single and you go to a bar, I like that whole, you like somebody at a bar and they're dancing and you go dance by them and then they stand by you and then you're like, I like
there's
that.
There's a whole ritual, yeah.
That anymore? Is that not part of being
gay? I look and then you look away and then he looks away.
And then you feel that weird energy.
Right, and you make yourself a little more in his vision and it's so much fun. No, I love that.
And sometimes you work two people because you're like, I don't know if this is going to work out. So you're working two people at once. It's fun. Yeah.
No, that is fun.
And I don't think that happens to me now. I think I'm pretty aggressive. Like, hey,
so you just go,
hey, what's up?
Show me your dick. You just like went online. Show me your dick.
Yeah. Are we going to thug or not?
You know, that's right. What online did to me.
Wow. That's aggressive. I don't know if
the flirty game is so good.
The flirty game.
What's your name?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Now, you know what I like is, like, if you're on Grindr, those apps with the GPS on it.
No.
You don't know this?
No.
Okay, mm-hmm. So there's apps like on your iPhone or whatever, okay. and there's a million and one profiles, but they'll only pull up the ones that are next to you.
Lazy motherfuckers. So, yeah. So you don't have to go work for the dick. The dick, when you order a pizza?
No, I mean, it's just...
Like, it's a fucking pizza.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I would like to order a large cock.
That is some shit.
Well, it's telling you who's next
okay,
to
what
you.
About this? What about all the people in your radius are not good dick? What if you, all the people...
It doesn't think, matter.
I would want... If I was single, really I would matter. Want... Because I would like white trashy boys. So what zip code are the white... Apache Junction?
Glendale. Apache Junction. Turn on your GPS and you're like...
This is amazing.
That's where I would be getting my dick. Yeah. I'd be shopping for the dick in Apache.
But you know what's so funny? You turn it on. It's like a game my friends play. So we turn it on. Uh-huh. And there's all these guys around you. Like, if we go to Charlie's... And we're looking, we're like, wait, where is he? Here's his picture. Is he there? And you see the person that, bitch, this is not you.
Right. Oh, my God. Where is he? Like, it's like metal detector, like, boop, 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 boop. And you're like, dee, dee, dee,
and
dee,
it tells you that he's like 20 feet away or whatever.
What? Like, yeah, it tells you like the feet. Yeah, that's what's weird is when.
No, yeah. I don't think I like that. That's not cool. Mm-hmm. It's all the mystery is gone.
Did you hear about Grindr and the Summer Olympics?
Oh yeah.
So all the like the day that the Olympic trainers arrived in London, Grindr shut down in London.
Why?
They were all logging on.
Yeah.
All those gymnasts from gay gymnasts from around the world all had Grindr and they all were trying
to
fight.
Can you imagine?
Some. Yeah.
That list of people? Just, oh my God.
All those bodies. Oh my God. I wish I was in London just to look at the Grindrs. This little like checkerboard of hot bodies, you know?
Yes. Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. It's a whole world. It's a whole new world.
Yeah, it's a whole stupid world, but it's what we live in.
And so, what else would you like to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
Ernesto? Well, we're interviewing...
It's my interview,
It didn't turn into Ernesto's dating.
Yeah, Ernesto's...
Ernesto's love connection.
Yeah, yeah. So your comedy. So we'll wrap this up here then.
Okay, yes, comedy.
The Glendale is coming up there. And so then you are... how do you feel, though? Let me ask you, though. That, like, when you're doing your style now, before you were doing that, and I really enjoyed that, going to church thing.
Okay.
So now you're going to take us into revealing a little bit about you. Are mm-hmm. you doing that just because you ran out of material, or...
It's
just the natural step.
It's the natural step, and it's the natural progression, I think, where my set was going. Because I'm still doing the same set and the same kind of jokes and taking them to church and talking about... Yeah. I have the gay Jesus jokes, which mm-hmm. are great. You'll have to come and listen to those because I'm still going to do those. But I think that naturally progresses into my life as a young Christian growing up gay, you know?
I like that. And you know what... I'm a young Christian growing up and a young Christian now. Hello.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No, that's the thing. And that's the thing that always killed me about. I mean, I always had an appreciation for God. I mean, we became Catholic and we went to be born again and we went through the whole thing. But I think that you can be gay and Christian.
Yeah.
And every day I try to live my life to be a Christian. It doesn't work because I tell a bitch off or, you know, but in my heart. In my heart.
But I love her.
But I love her. I'm going to tell you what. You know what? I really actually think that that's my purpose on life is to, that there are people out there that are, it's a cry for help and I'm here to help them.
Yes. Oh, totally. Like, I want to send a message. Like, that's the thing. Like, you want to send a message as a comedian. I think we all do. And that's the message I want to send too. I know there's little Christian boys out there that are crying themselves to sleep. And
they can't see your picture on Grindr.
They can't.
What's behind that plan?
Move the plan, you idiot. I should hold a Bible. No, I'm kidding. I'll hold.
That was too far.
50 Shades of Grey. I'll hold in front. That's fine. Yeah. Okay, anyway, that's the thing. Like the message you want to send, and I don't identify as a Christian anymore.
You don't? That's sad. You still can.
Why is that sad to you?
It is sad to me. Because that's your upbringing. And you know as a child that you're a child of God, right?
I don't discredit my upbringing at all. And the beliefs that were instilled with me, I carry today. And it's made me the person I am. So I don't discredit that.
Yeah.
But I can't accept Jesus right now. I can't. Mm-hmm. I kind of stopped believing in hell is what it is. Because everybody was telling me, Kenny, it's just Satan talking to you. You have these issues, separate issues from the gay thing, but they're like, yeah. Kenny, you have these issues, and that's Satan whispering in your ear. And I'm like, no, maybe it's not Satan. Maybe it's just that life sucks. Like,
or I'm bipolar.
Why are we just blaming everything on the devil? Like, you know, like, Kenny, just pray it off. Like, it's the devil. The devil's telling you this. The devil's telling you that. I'm like, no, this is a real problem that I really need to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's not this external devil thing.
Yeah.
And when I stop believing in the devil, then I'm like, I got a question. If I can't believe in that, the devil, can I believe in God? And then...
Well, the great thing is, it's we have a long journey in life. Right.
But Jesus did give me water the other day. I'll tell you this little story. Okay. Oh. Now, I'll tell you the conviction that it gave me. So my tire blew up on my scooter, because I drive a scooter, and I was stranded on the side of the road.
All right.
And I called the scooter tow place, because it's separate. And they're like, you know, it's going to be an hour before we get to you. And I'm on the side of the road. I'm like, well, just try to make it fast. And it was hot that day, and I'm sitting there waiting for the tow truck. This nice little black couple comes up, and
thank you for not saying colored.
Yeah.
Thank you.
these two come up, and they're like, do you need any help? And I go, oh, I'm fine, I'm just waiting for the tow truck. And they're like, okay, are you sure there's nothing that we can do? And I'm like, no, I'm good, just, you know, I just gotta wait, thanks for stopping. And I thanked them, and then they went on their way. They came back 15 minutes later with two bottles of water for me.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was just thinking, like, moments before, I was like, you know what, I wish I drank more water this morning. And they gave me those two bottles of water, and I was like, I was just thinking I needed this. Thank you so much. And she goes, well, I wanted to help you, so I asked Jesus what you needed, and he told me you needed water. And I was like,
bitch, you're going to make me cry.
Well, and I was like, I go, that's exactly what I go, Jesus told you, right? And then the guy was like, you know Jesus? I think you know Jesus. I'm like, oh yeah, I know Jesus. I know gay Jesus.
Slugway has Seuss last night.
Jesus, and... You know, I could have, you know, I didn't want to be like, you know, I don't believe in God. Yeah, but even though I don't necessarily identify as a Christian, I don't necessarily believe in Jesus anymore, Jesus brought me water. The idea of Jesus inside human beings brought me water.
Right.
And that was just touching to me. Like, you know, maybe I'm too hard on Christians. I'm too hard on Christians. The idea of Jesus makes people really good. Yeah. The idea of Jesus brought me water.
Yeah.
And if it was really from Jesus, he would have turned it into wine. But
hello.
Separate thing.
That's me. Now that's the devil in you.
That's the devil in
you. Trying to take it one more.
That's the devil whispering in your ear, Kenny. But,
you should have said, but Jesus also said a sandwich.
But you really, no, it's a beautiful thing. And that kind of makes Jesus real. Like the fact that he's really in their hearts and their thoughts.
Yeah.
And it really made them do something for me. Jesus made Jesus real, and it made life, and maybe it was just the heat exhaustion, but I was like a little teary-eyed.
No, I mean, that's a good story. What do you think, Ernesto? What do you think?
Anyway,
you
like that story? Do you like my story?
Yeah, your story was wonderful. It was fabulous.
What do you think
about Jesus? I just kept thinking, oh my God, you must have been so goddamn hot on
that. Oh, I was. And a pop tire on a scooter is scary, let me tell you. Ugh. I was a lot of emotions. Anyway, what do you think about Jesus? Or God, or whatever.
I'm very Catholic. I'm very Catholic.
Yeah.
And Jesus is watching everything we do. Everything.
Everything. So Catholic, it comes with the, if you do good things, you're not supposed to tell anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I grew up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't tell anybody that you're helping them.
No.
It's a secret. You know what I mean? The thing
so
is,
so they should have. So the people, if they were Catholic, they would have like put the water somewhere in the.
No, they would have came.
They would have came. They would have came. They would have told everyone that they would.
That's the difference between Christians and Catholics. Christians, they tell everybody. They'd be on their Facebook. Oh my God, thank God I was able
the
to save
the sweetest little gay guy on his scooter was in the sun.
God told me to let this bitch drive, and I said no, Lord.
No, Lord.
I'm gonna save this motherfucker. This bitch is gonna go on Grindr, and she's doing artsy pictures.
Artsy fucking pictures.
That's funny. The artsy picture thing is hilarious. I think that's... Like, if it was me, though, I would do themes. Like, you should do, like, a TV, like, TV guide. Do they still have TV guide? I don't know. Maybe, like
a Brady Bunch theme?
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, my God. Like, jungle-themed.
Oh, yeah,
jungle-themed naked photo and outer space.
Or, you know what? Those cute little Arizona Copa... What do you call it?
Copa-pellies?
Yeah, maybe do that.
What are those? I don't
know. Coco Pelli?
You know, the little guy playing the flute?
You see him on the highway?
Yeah.
Because it's a skin flute. Get it?
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. I would be laying down in front of the
Coco Pelli.
Or make put your penis where he plays the flute.
Right, exactly, yeah. We could do so much.
Wow. Take it to the next level.
Let's take nude photos to the next. This is going to be the new trend in gay grinder photos.
And gray grinder and scruff and growler and all the other ones.
Oh, Lord
boy,
Jesus.
Boy ahoy, that's one too.
Oh, boy ahoy.
Boy yeah. ahoy.
I don't know about all that.
This seems wait, because you already got a man.
Okay, yeah.
We're over here trying. We'll try anything.
There was a gay comedian on Grindr, and he was just like on his Grindr. He's like, I'm just promoting my show, and chat me up or my shows.
Yeah, and you know they.
That's what I'm gonna tell my boyfriend why I'm on the Grindr. I'm just promoting my shows. Now send me a dick. Send me a picture of your
if
dick.
They send me their dick pic. I don't know.
That's what you should do. You send a new photo with like you're holding maybe like the show dates and yeah. your dick. Yeah, come see me at the comedy spot.
The spot. I'll show you the spot. Hello.
The comedy spot is your ass.
Yes.
It's
really. Funny. I don't want guys with spots.
He doesn't want. The Christian Kenny was confused. Wait, I'm a good person.
Is that a joke?
I don't know what the joke is.
I'm a good person. I was only raised on
love,
and
sunshine,
and Little Debbie cakes.
You know what? I love Little Debbie cakes. In fact, that's the only girl I'll eat. I love Mr. Debbie.
Right. Sponsor alert.
I love. I don't know if I love the Nutty Buddies more than I love those Swiss Misses. What is it? Swiss roll?
I don't eat sweets.
Oh, those. Yeah.
But when you open up the plastic, the chocolate is on the plastic. That's what makes me mad.
I love ding dongs though, because they're wrapped in
foil. I bet you do. Mm-hmm.
The dong.
You could put your penis through a ding dong and take a picture.
Right. Or donuts stacking up.
Yeah.
Or only take like two. But
or a hot dog bun.
No, I've seen that before, and they put ketchup on it. Yeah.
Oh.
Right, and I was like, no.
Was
no.
it cut or uncut?
Ernesto, that is sick.
You can Google it. Like, a lot of guys have done that. Like,
yeah.
They put their boner in a hot dog bun and then put mustard on it.
Wow, that takes a lot of forethought because you got to get hard and you got to get the bread. That's a bit. See, now that's somebody I would like because that's somebody that can put shit together.
Right, while they're horny.
Yeah.
It's multitasking.
That's why?
They're not keeping the
erections are easy to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I don't know. But my mind would be sad. Democrats only.
Oh, no.
Must love your country. I don't know.
You can put the donkey, like the Democratic donkey in front of your donk.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, Kenny, it was a pleasure
having
you on our portion of the show. We hope you can stay. We have some other people we can
interview.
Yeah, AZ State Fair Commercial October. Show dates, Zendajos, September.
Zendajos.
Zendajos.
Zendajos. The Zendizos. In Glendale, September 20th, and Comedy Spot September 28th, and Comedy Spot November 2nd.
Do you have a website, a Facebook, or anything?
Yeah, Twitter at Kenny from the Block.
Oh, I love it.
Follow me on Twitter, and then that's also my Instagram at Kenny from the Block.
Okay.
Like Jenny from the Block, but Kenny from the Block.
Kenny from the Block.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yay!
Hi everybody, this is Gene and Ernesto. We're here to interview Jake Woods. He is an entrepreneur, a local one. He has a website, JW Collection, and on that website has different design shirts, and then there's another company, One Rung, and we're just kind of here to talk about that. So welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
How's it going?
How are you?
Good.
Good.
So you are not from Phoenix. You're from Atlanta, is that correct?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. First, how's that like coming in here to Phoenix? Is that like a big culture difference?
Yeah, I'm from a small town outside of Atlanta. So it's not really the city. Probably like 1,500 people.
Okay.
Farmland. Wow. Yeah, so it's totally small town.
Yeah.
So what brought you here?
I actually came out here to do some work, and I met my now business partner that basically has had his name out there and like knew what he was doing, and I was totally getting taken advantage of everywhere I went. So I met him, and he's basically given me a place to stay and helped me from ground zero to where I am now. So
you're self-made. So you're coming here, you're trying to do that. So now, it's interesting. What I'm drawn to your story is that, you know, you just didn't take a job, and you're like, I mean, I see you working, but you're like, also, I want to do this myself. So I mean, where did that come from? Were your parents self-employed, or?
Yeah, both of my parents are self-employed.
So that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
And then. Also on your website, it talks about the need to give back, and I like that part of it. Where did that come from?
As a kid, I always gave back. Like, I mean, going to school and giving my lunch money away because I knew I could go home and eat, and I didn't know if they could. So I was always, like, the giving type, and
yeah.
I loved doing it. I actually love giving back more than giving to myself. I love, it makes me more happy to give to somebody than to accept something mm-hmm. for myself. So,
and you have an interesting story about giving away your shirt.
Yeah. So. My mom like told me some stories of where I was younger and I would give the shirt off my back for somebody, and you know, people use that as a saying, but like I actually did it as a kid. I was totally like the giving type.
Was it an ugly shirt? Is that why you gave it away? You wear your ugly clothes?
No, I just, cute. Yeah, I'm really soft-hearted, so.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is. I mean, is it still like that now, or?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with the JW collection was is the fact that I never actually had the money and to give back, so I created a brand that actually raised money that I could make a profit and give back at the same time, so I was having a business and being able to do what I love, so.
Can we talk about those designs? Like, why?
Yeah, sure.
What is the, the grenade? I mean, I like them because they're very masculine.
Yeah.
I like that. So, I mean, where did that come from?
Well, the funny thing is it's come out to be two different meanings. The brand is JW Collection. Just Wonder is like, just wonder what one person can do. Hard Impact is an impact you can make on somebody else's life. But people's kind of turned it into two different ways. So Hard Impact is like sexual is what people look at. And Just Wonder is sexual. So it's benefiting us in two ways. So people know the real meaning and people assume they know. Like, they just like it for what it is. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of like fed into that and made our designs off of the sexual and the fact of it being
smart. Yeah, it's innuendo.
Yeah.
So is it just t-shirts that you sell?
Yeah, as of right now.
Now
we plan on growing. Like we want to do underwear next. That's our next big thing. Very underwear, cool. So
I do boxers. So have you ever been out just like at a bar or anything and you see somebody in your t-shirt and like they don't know that it's from you?
Well, actually I haven't in Phoenix. I haven't seen it yet, but I have heard people like in Canada. Somebody said they were in Canada and saw somebody wearing one of my shirts. So just on Facebook. Cool. So it's kind of exciting to hear.
Oh, this is very cool.
We're just kidding.
The quote. There's a quote on there and it says, know that your sense of style goes more than skin deep. Is that from you or?
Yeah, that's our slogan. That's what we're going by right now. And that's like meaning that it's not just a shirt, that your purchase is actually doing more than giving you something to wear. It's actually going more than skin deep and you're actually helping somebody at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So it's got a meaning behind it as well.
Very
so.
Cool. And so there's two companies, right? Or
yeah, there's two. We started off with JW Collection, that was our main focus, and then we were spending so much money having the shirts produced, so we actually bought a screen printing business and started doing our own stuff. Oh, and wow. Now we're actually doing stuff for local businesses and charities, like what we're doing for tomorrow's event.
Okay, really? Cool.
So let me just get it straight. So you have the site that sells your designs and what you're doing, and now if somebody, like if we wanted to create t-shirts, we could work with you.
Yeah, I own the print shop now, and I can do all kind of design, so.
Okay, that's interesting.
Wow, very cool. Gosh, you're so young.
Yeah.
I like how you get shit done. You know what I mean? Because that's how you have to do. You can't wait around. So you just gotta get it done. So that, and then the design. So the charity work, how did you find out about that Josh Rivers?
It's actually a funny story. I was watching the news on Friday morning and saw the story. And
Josh Rivers is somebody, can you kind of just tell a little
background? Okay. Josh Rivers is a kid that was at a nightclub in Phoenix a year and a half ago and was shot 3 times and paralyzed from the waist down. Mm-hmm. And we're putting on a show tomorrow night at BS West to raise funds and help him walk again. And actually they've actually raised the funds they need for the device, and now they're raising funds for the gear shifters for his hand so he can drive. So.
So he needed a special device?
Yeah, a special device that helped him walk.
Oh, okay.
Is it his, like, to help his spinal cord or something?
It's kind of like, he's got like I think it's like a numb leg or dead leg or whatever. One leg don't work. So this device is to send like electricity shocks to his leg to help him walk in. And over time, it will like fully rehabilitate his leg and make him
actually. So you saw this on the news?
Yeah, I saw it on the news once.
Did not know him.
I did not know him. And I made this comment to my boyfriend that I was like, this is where I want to be. This is the kind of stuff I want to help. I wish I had all the money. I would just donate it all. And then it was funny because then the next day I was sitting at my computer desk working at One Wrong, and I got an email on Facebook saying that they were friends with Josh Rivers and wanted to know if I could print shirts for their stuff. They knew what I stood for the JW collection.
Weird?
Yeah, so it was totally like caught me off shock.
Because
I didn't know how to approach or even get involved, and just the fact that I was approached by them showed me that like what I'm doing is really getting out there, because I was noticed for what I do. So like it was a really big eye opener for myself.
And do you know What's going to go on tomorrow, or what can we expect tomorrow?
Tomorrow, there's a lot of drag queens going to be there. I know that. So we got free giveaways. We're going to be giving out bags, computer bags, and a few JW collection stuff. And then I've raised money myself through a few small businesses, and we're going to present them with a check of what we've raised. And whatever we sell tomorrow night at the event, we'll also be giving a percentage of those. So.
Oh, wow. I mean, he seems very hopeful. When I see him, he doesn't seem like he's... At least, I mean...
Yeah, he's very high-spirited. Like, he's totally got his head up. So.
I'd be pissed. I would be suing everybody and everybody.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Because when I get mad, I eat. So, yeah. That's me. So where do you see yourself, like, in 5 years? Do you have a plan where you seem to be wanting to...
Yeah, I actually want the t-shirt line to be a fashion line. That's the plan. We actually want to add wallets, jeans, underwear, lingerie. Like, we plan on growing this as high as we can get it. So we're giving it all we got, and that's our 5-year goal plan right there.
Just right there going on. Yeah. So it's interesting how you're finding people that kind of help you develop that. It's really...
Yeah, I mean, it's been stepping stones. I mean, from my past to where I am now, it's totally two different spots. So
do you go on that? You know, like, so if somebody's listening and they're, like, kind of feeling sorry for themselves and they're just not getting anywhere, because have you ever had that feeling where you're stuck? What would you say to them?
I would say just keep going and never give up, because, like, you might have your bad days, but there are the good days, too, that make you enjoy what you're doing. And, like, Josh's was a big eye-opener for us. Is like, because we actually finally got recognized by what we're doing and trying to help people, and we were approached by them. We didn't approach them, so it was kind of a big eye-opener. People are seeing what we're doing.
Yeah. So, it's good.
So is there... Do you choose the charities or...
Well, right now, we've actually worked with two. We worked with a kid that had MDA, and then we designed their shirts for their walk that they were raising. And then Josh's is our second, and I think they just come to me. Like, I mean, the next one is a lady that has breast cancer and has two kids, and her daughter actually has cancer too, and she's 13. So and I got approached by them at a camping trip, like, telling me their story, and I just fell in love with this. So yeah, I think that's our next one that we're gonna help out.
Wow. So the little girl has cancer too.
Yeah, she found out a month before her mom, and then her mom found out she had breast cancer.
Wow, that's
So a touching story.
So where can people get your t-shirts?
JWCollection.com.
We'll have a link. We'll put a link there for
you. And we're in a few stores. We're in a store in Atlanta and Miami, Sheree Armand.
Oh, really?
So it's a high-end boutique store.
Oh. Well, welcome back, everyone. Right now, we have, I'm going to say it wrong, Corbett, but it's Corbett Winningham?
Yep.
I said it right.
Very good.
Without a Mexican accent. I'm amazed. I actually met Corbett. How long has it been?
Probably about a month, maybe a little bit more.
A month, yeah. We worked for a nonprofit in town, and he was a new guy, and he kind of followed me around for a couple days.
I still kind of do.
Yeah. Corbett is a volunteer for No Más Muerte, or No More Deaths. We're chatting today, and welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. So, Corbett, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Phoenix, just down the street a little ways, and went to high school here, and I also went to college at NAU, so up in Flagstaff.
What did you study in college?
I studied anthropology with a minor in Spanish.
Oh, very cool.
So, but I, of course, like, it's hard to focus on just one subject, so I did a little bit of philosophy, a little bit of math, stuff like that, so.
All right. Yeah. So good. It looks like you have a, just from the short time that I know you, it looks like you have a passion for helping people. I know we work at a food bank together, but you also work for this organization. So tell me a little bit about that.
No More Deaths, No Más Muertes is an organization that, recognizes the need for a humanitarian presence in the southern Arizona deserts. So this is actually in light of the American policy of militarizing borders.
Right.
The primary thing that we do is we go out and we provide water in the desert in certain drop locations. So that way, if anyone, doesn't really matter who, needs water and they happen to be passing by, they can oftentimes find these water drops, mm-hmm. and they're able to actually, like oftentimes it actually helps people survive in the desert.
Wow.
So, of course, it does, with regards to immigration, it does have a strong focus on the undocumented migration mm-hmm. north. So,
there's a trail that people, is it like a commonly trail, traveled trail, or?
There's actually a, it's like a, almost like a spider web of trails. Like,
okay.
Because so many people are coming in from so many different individual locations along the border, that some of them have guides, some of them don't, or get lost, separated.
So the water spots help. So it's just water. Is there food there too, or no? Just water.
Usually canned food, like non-perishable food that we can move out. Sometimes, like during the winter, a lot of people don't realize, but I think one of the statistics I heard was that Arizona has one of the highest hypothermia. Cases of hypothermia. So, just in the winter, you get a little bit wet from water, like from a wash or whatever, and it'll drop down to 50-40 degrees.
Right.
Even during the summer, it'll get that cold.
Yeah.
So,
oh, cool.
So we put up blankets and socks.
So let me ask you this, just so I understand it, because I don't, even though I'm half Mexican, I'm embarrassed to say that I don't always pay attention to that. So it's just, so right now, the government official policy for America right now is that we're going to have all these troops down there, and I guess there's more funding under Obama, correct?
Right, yeah.
So with the, in my mind, I'm thinking that if these are Border Patrol, that they're at least professionally trained. Is that the case or no?
They are trained in terms of, I guess, it's pseudo-military, so...
Right.
They have helicopters, they have trucks, jeeps, even horses
mm-hmm.
they ride around on. And they do, some of them do have training. There's Borstar, which is the search and rescue
mm-hmm.
Component of the U.S. Border Patrol. But often it's a voluntary program, so it's not mandatory. There aren't like, it's not mandatory, so you don't have to have necessarily search and rescue training, but I'm not entirely sure about that aspect of things.
But so they're not being, because one of the things on the website, it says this culture of cruelty,
right?
So to me that infers that it's like unprofessional people watching the border, and they're just being abusive and like raping and being, you know, just not what I would think is being represented. Is that not true or
NORDES actually, and in conjunction with a number of organizations, has conducted studies in the past
mm-hmm.
on humanitarian abuses committed by Border Patrol.
Okay.
Wow. And that is outlined in our... The first one was interviewing, I think, 200 people over the course of like a short period of time who are migrants who'd been detained in short-term custody and had experienced humanitarian abuses by the Border Patrol. That's anything from... verbal abuse to an unsafe environment, so like being put into a the back of a truck, and then the Border Patrol agents, for whatever reason, drive really recklessly along the roads, so they feel unsafe, to being deprived of food. And more recently, we actually released a study that was called Culture of Cruelty. So that the first one was Crossing the Line. Culture of Cruelty was, I believe, a 2-year study. It was done sampling something like 12,000 stories from migrants. And the reason they call it a culture of cruelty is that for whatever reason, the Border Patrol lacks sufficient oversight, ethical review.
Right.
So what winds up happening is people are allowed to... oftentimes, if they catch migrants,
mm-hmm.
they'll take the food, whatever limited food supplies that the migrants have, and feed them to their horses. Or when they're in short-term detention, they'll actually provide them food, supposedly, but it'll be half frozen. So it's unpalatable. Like, you can't eat frozen
food. So there's not a humane way. But right. So do you think, is there a difference between, like, the Bush administration and Obama on how they treat him, or is it just the same because it's a government?
You know, from what I understand, Obama has increased the number of Border Patrol agents. American policy when it comes to people coming across the border and Border Patrol has followed the procedure of deterrence through prevention through deterrence.
Okay.
So that includes souping up the actual physical presence of Border Patrol agents, as well as actual construction of a border wall. The argument has been made numerous times that U.S. economic policy is one of the primary reasons for migrants to actually come across. NAFTA, of course, is
right.
What I'm talking about. So, U.S. corn subsidies are able to be sold at a lower price in Mexico than local corn. So what winds up happening is it actually undercuts the market. That's the argument that has been made. So,
So let me ask this too, because I went to, I was totally. Sometimes I get embarrassed on what I don't know because I just get caught up in my own world.
Same here, right?
So I went to the website and it appears that at least one of the things that Obama did, and this I think is humane, is that they have an online locator, so you can put in on a website, you know, your family member to see where they are. Are they in a detention center?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's... Because, see, here's my thing, and I'm half Mexican, half English, and my family did come to America the same way, illegally.
Oh,
and then they became legal. But I guess it was, like, in the 60s when that was more allowable,
yeah.
And there was a process to kind of help guide them through
and
it.
Right. Like, Reagan offered amnesty.
Right.
So.
But they actually came and they went and did the paperwork, so
yeah.
For me, and I always grew up as an American, and so I have this weird view because I see both sides of it.
Yeah.
And so to me, I always say that, I always do a joke because, you know, it's comedy. I always say, you know, my family came to America and now these people keep fucking following us. So the thing is that for me, it's very frustrating because my family wanted to assimilate very quickly into
right.
America. So everyone had to learn English. Everyone had emphasis on education.
Yeah.
And so it's frustrating for me. And I'm being sympathetic,
yeah.
Is because I'm very liberal, is that when I go out and I see Mexicans and they get angry because they want to speak to me in Spanish, I'm like, you better learn the language. This is fucking America. And I can't believe sometimes I'm saying
right.
that.
Right.
But to me, because this is from my grandfather, it was, if you don't want to be a victim in this country, you better learn English. Because you're not going to
yeah.
own a business or own a home. That's just where I come from.
Yeah.
So when I see this border thing, I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing. I mean, I certainly don't want people to be treated poorly.
Right.
And
yeah.
I would be shocked if that is happening. And like, you know, but and I haven't invested any time to think if it's true. But I mean, I don't know. Is it like the needle exchange where you're kind of promoting drugs? It's that debate. Like, if you didn't help these people, would they take another route and just not come that way?
And I think they would. What is happening is what I'm seeing with your work, is that people are going to come here. They're going to the conditions that they're living in are terrible.
Yeah.
And they're coming here because they have no other choice.
But you know what? As an American, we all know that when things piss us off, you organize and you do something about it. Where's their spirit? Why can't they go down there in their country, overthrow and take that? I mean, what really gets me going, and this is going to sound horrible, is that these people, suddenly I'm Ross Perot. What makes me angry is people come here, even like the President Obama, he did that thing on June 15th where he said, if you're over 16 and under 30,
right. yeah.
we're going to make you a citizen. Here
well,
on
he
day...
Didn't, he didn't actually say that he would make them a citizen.
He could apply for citizenship, correct? And
no,
they're not
actually,
gonna,
you can work legally.
The it's actually really interesting because, of course, there's the DREAM Act that... well, right, and it offered a path to citizenship. And then there was the... hypothetical Ryan plan, or not Ryan plan, it was the other one. It was all about sort of like the modified DREAM Act that was, that didn't offer a path to citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting with what Obama did was actually not offer a path to citizenship, and didn't really offer amnesty. All it did was allow for undocumented youths to apply for a work visa. So it's actually prosecutorial discretion is the technical term. So what it means is that rather than going after and prosecuting all undocumented people, including these like essentially Americans, people who've born and raised, or maybe not necessarily born, but raised in Arizona from a very early age.
Right.
Instead of prosecuting them and sending them back maybe to a country that they've never really in their conscious lives been to.
Right.
Maybe they don't know anyone. They're choosing to to go after people who are more, repeat offenders and people who've committed crimes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, just as a point of clarification,
That's a good point, because I didn't know that. And part of me was my feeling of that when I first heard that. Again, and I don't speak about things, in public until I, find out.
Yeah.
But I'm I just kept it. Because at first I can write a zillion jokes on that. Because my view, here I am, a gay person, and I've been in the army, and I've done everything, and I don't even have the right to get married, but then someone else can be here illegally, and they get more fucking rights than me.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Right.
So, the whole thing for me, it really is frustrating for me too, because just the way I was raised is that if you don't like something, fix it. If you don't like what you have or what you are, then get yourself better. Move up to the next level. And that helplessness feeling, it offends me. It offends me. But it also offends me when I see the police doing things. Because I'm mixed. And I'm mixed on Sheriff Joe. And I know my boyfriend has a huge problem with that. Because at least I see it. I don't support the inhuman ways that Sheriff Joe's doing that and the profiling. But what I do support is that at least he's doing something about it. Because I look at all the coyotes bringing people here illegally and how dangerous that is. I look at people coming here and not trying to assimilate. And I'm like, no. Well, you're always going to be a victim.
I think it is important to look at the history of the region in terms of cultural integration. Just because, of course, Spanish predates English in this region by at least a couple hundred years. It used to be a part of Mexico. There's the old saying, I didn't cross the border crossed us.
Right. However, there was a war that took care of that. The war was won. In wars, when it's won, there's a victor and there's a loser.
Right. Well, the argument...
It's not fair, I'm just saying.
The argument is also made that that the United States has violated the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which...
That's true, I've heard that too, yeah.
It was the end of the war. In terms of the cultural aspect, we also don't have a national language. We don't have an officially recognized national language. And that's not to say that the merits of, say, learning English versus, sticking with Spanish. But from a legalistic sort of perspective, people aren't necessarily obligated to learn English, and people have gone, or various businesses have done a pretty good job of accommodating that, which I think is
cool. Don't you think that's, and again, this is gonna sound, and this is horrific, sometimes it's coming from my mouth when I say it, but I think that is the beauty in America, that there is one English. That's where I beg to differ with you. I think English is the language that is spoken, and I think that for me, just because I remember, being in the army was really the first time I was integrated with a lot of different cultures.
Right, yeah.
And I have limited Spanish, because we really, when they came here, it was really learn English. Because it was a different time. It was where they were beating people up. It was where my grandparents were being beat up, fired. So it was get into the system right away.
Right, yeah.
I think if my grandfather had to do it over again, he would do it where we would keep our culture more.
Right.
But it didn't happen. But anyways, my thing is that when I was in the Army, I was speak to people that were Puerto Rican or Cuban. So what would it be? Would it be the Spanish version, which is more European, would be the language? Or it'd be very difficult to have documents, if you're buying a home and it's in Puerto Rican and you're a Mexican. The dialects are so different.
Yeah.
So what would it... I think that complicates things. Why couldn't it just be English? And if they're coming here to make their lives better, that's part of the thing. Keep your culture, but learn this language, else you're going to be a victim.
And that is true. It does seem like, in a lot of ways, Arizona has kind of created a name for itself in terms of being requiring all documents to be in English as opposed to giving the option, the Spanish option. So I do think it could be useful, but to learn English. But I'm not entirely sold on the idea that like it should be obligatory, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what does America have to lose becoming a more multicultural, multi-ethnic, and inclusive society? You know, if anything, we'd stand to gain from becoming a more diverse culture or diverse culturally.
You know? No, that would I think be true. If what makes me very cautionary, and this is, and again, this is horrific that it comes from because I am half Mexican, is that what makes me cautionary is that there's no sense of fight. And there's no sense of fight. And if you don't like your environment, have a fucking revolution and overthrow your government and switch it. Coming here, and then they come, and I say they, and they really need to stop doing that. But and then you come here with this feeling, and then you want to change it here. No, go back there and change it. Don't come here and then try to make everything what you left. Because here's the thing.
Right.
I'm not going back to Mexico, and I don't want it coming to me.
Well, imagine...
Is that horrible? Do you think...
Go ahead.
I was just kind of spitballing with that. But, like, imagine if, for whatever reason, you were born in Mexico.
Right.
And you were here. There are plenty of people who are fully enculturated, as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They've grown up through the public education system. They pay taxes just like everyone else. But they constantly live in fear. And I mean, so many people that we talk to, like migrants, have families here. A lot of people have children who are American citizens,
mm-hmm.
and they're the ones who are being targeted. With the Obama has deported more people than every other or any other US president. And a lot of families get broken up because of that. And so in a lot of cases it's people who've lived here for 40 years, you know, who have families and everything.
It's complicated.
And then, yeah, it's very complicated. And the problem is politically we don't have there's not as much momentum in the mainstream American sort of voting population to have progressive immigration policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, like, if you listen to the all of the different Republican candidates at one time, there was not a single one who was in favor of progressive change with regards to American immigration policy.
Right.
So I think the problem is not so much that migrants are coming across and trying to change our culture. It's more like people who are who make up a significant population of the United States, who are essentially Americans, just as American as anyone else, with the clause that they are not, like, they weren't born here, live in fear, and the political movement is gaining momentum, but it hasn't reached full mainstream yet.
To get where it goes. I mean, what do you think of it?
Well, I mean, I grew up in a very different environment than you, so I grew up in a on the west side of town here, Maryville. But before that, my parents were migrant workers, so we worked in the crops in the fields.
Yeah.
And we would go, I mean, it was from Oregon to Texas and in between that.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people were here undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
So that I grew up in that whole culture. And I know how, you made a comment that as Americans, we bring ourselves up and whole victim thing offends you. But actually coming across the border and almost killing themselves in that desert is their option to bring themselves up. Because if they don't do it, their kids are going to starve. And there's times when
why not fight, Ernesto?
Well, also that fear factor that you're saying. Culturally, there's a lot of fear there. And they have been beaten down so much.
Yeah.
That fighting is not the option. Getting out of there is the option. And that happens in a lot of other countries when people come here as refugees.
No, that's a good point.
Another thought I just had was also the idea of an impermeable border is kind of a misnomer in that Before, like, 93, 94, which is when we really started changing American immigration policy to what it is now, we had relatively permeable borders. The problem, one of the problems with NAFTA is that it's like liberalized trade is the idea, but the only thing, or it frees up money and produce, but it doesn't free up labor. Mm-hmm. There isn't a free exchange of labor, and the economy in along the border has consistently been that like there's this ebb and flow, and it's not just Mexicans, you know, or Latin Americans manipulating or taking advantage of the better rates here, but it's also Americans taking advantage of the better environment in Mexico. So when all of a sudden they put up this wall and they crack down on migration, it actually was a complete departure from what had traditionally been going on. Mm-hmm. Not to say that there wasn't exploitation before then, because of course there was.
Yep.
But at the same time, like now is a completely radically different thing from the way it's been for hundreds of years.
No, I get that. I mean, but to me though, like how about this, Ernesto? Like, third generation Democrat, because my family was union workers, and I actually worked in the fields too, because my mother was worried I was becoming too white, so I went to work in the fields. And I'm glad that I did that, because I probably would be worse. I'd probably be one of those douchebags that would be, you know, really going out there. But what really worries me is when I see people, they come, and because of the culture and everything, they migrate towards the Republican Party. And they're very Republican because they're very conservative. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, now they have a sense of fight. And they come here. And it's not even for the right party, in my view. And so it scares me of what that change is going to be. Because I'm telling you right now, in 20 years, I think more Mexican people are going to be Republicans. And it's going to change that party. I think the Republican Party is going to find the error of their ways. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go and migrate. And they're going to bring in more Hispanic voters. And I see it becoming more, it's going to be different. I think that's just my view.
I grew up in those neighborhoods. I still live in those neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I don't live here in Midtown. I don't know any Republicans there. No, I really don't.
I think there is something to be said for the fact that like immigration and like Hispanic voting population tend to be closely associated in the media and everything, but when they do polls, when like they actually ask the Hispanic voting population what interests them about politics, like it's just the same as everyone else. It's, you know, economy, jobs.
Yeah, but today, so, but what happens is it seems to be a thing, because it happens a lot with union workers in Michigan, where I'm from.
Yeah,
is that everyone's a Democrat, and then the parents do not teach why it's important to be in the Democratic Party,
right.
And then the children grow up Republican,
hmm.
And then they start voting against their interests. And to me, it's insane. It's like what happened in Milwaukee, you know, Wisconsin, where you had a lot of union people voting for that guy against their interests. And they hate government, but they work for government.
Right, yeah.
So for me, this whole issue is very complex for me, because
It's very complex.
I'm on both sides of it.
Like,
I mean, I'm a Democrat and I want the humane, but then I also think in law and order.
Right.
So, I mean, I respect process and...
Right.
No way. I mean, I get why people come to America. I would come to America if I was down there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's complicated.
Definitely. And I think the main problem has been that there isn't that knowledge. Like, people, it isn't on the forefront of their mind that there is a way to solve these cultural and geographic problems there, and that it's very complicated, of course, but there is a way to do it in such a way that will be effective and better the lives of many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
just,
you need stories, because America only gets stories.
Right.
Right.
If it's made personal through a story, people get it.
Exactly.
Because then it comes into their life just for a moment to view it. I mean, what do you think, Ernesto? Do you think, is it, too, am I too conservative? How can I be liberal and conservative?
No, I think a lot of people are thinking the same things you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on both sides, we're not educated enough of each side.
But I can concede that. Yeah. That's huge. That we're not educated.
And the open dialogues like this are very important.
Yeah,
we
definitely
don't have enough of them. Yeah.
And I mean, in even in terms of, like, I mentioned the economic policy, like, I hesitate to actually say conclusively about that, because I've heard various things, and I didn't study economics, so I don't know the full ramifications of, you know, international economic policy, but, yeah, so...
Well, it's a very complex thing. Have a couple minutes left.
All right.
I know, it went by so fast.
Wow.
But, you know, I definitely want to, for anyone that's listening, if they want to volunteer, how or want to find out more information about No More Deaths, where can they find that information at?
We have a website, nomoredeaths.org, and then we also have, we have a couple of different websites. We have a Facebook page, a couple of them. In Phoenix, we meet every first and third Tuesday at Central Methodist Church.
Okay.
So that's actually also detailed on our website.
I know we're wrapping up, but is it illegal to help? I mean, so ignorant on this. Isn't it illegal to provide this kind of help? Is it with our law that it is right now?
There's the... it's not.
Okay.
And actually, every now and then people get ticketed and fined for littering.
Like, so I guess part of it is the education of what you can and cannot do.
Right,
okay,
yeah.
That comes with it. Okay.
And we actually have lawyers on hand to answer any of our questions and sort out any potential legal issues. So.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
So I had a question too. So you're actually going into Mexico?
No.
So it's on the United States side?
Right,
okay.
Yeah. It's just within the United States. And we are actually able to... We have a 24/7 camp. It's always occupied by volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And so any time of the year, people are there. And they actually go around doing the water drops. So people will literally pick up, you know, 2-4 gallons of water and walk along... in the desert, like along trails that we've found, and put down water at designated sites.
So that could be like a little fat farm. You could lose weight and,
yeah, and help out.
You never stop sweating. It's terrible, even when you're asleep.
How much weight do you lose?
I assume a lot.
That's how you sell it. That's how you sell that.
Yeah.
You get fat people that want to be skinny. Let me get on your board. I'll get some plans.
Well, Corbin, we thank you
thank
so
you.
Much
thank
for
so
coming out. You taught us so much.
You did.
And thank you. Thank you very much.
It's always great to have discussions like this. I actually really value them. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
very much.
Thank you.